Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you would, to begin with. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Stick a finger there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and then turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So 1 Corinthians 14 and 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We've been, over the last number of weeks, learning about how to be victorious over our emotions. And I trust that you have been discovering with me the value of walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Now, we have to be reminded tonight that emotions are not necessarily bad. They're not necessarily evil in and of themselves. However, emotions can provoke us to respond in ways that are ungodly and are not righteous. And so we have to be careful as God's people not to excuse our fleshly, emotion-led behavior, but rather instead to live a Spirit-filled life so that we can be overcomers in Christ. Now tonight, we want to deal with an emotion that I think is probably more prevalent, more real in our lives than we would like to admit, and that is the feeling or the emotion of confusion. How often do you and I as believers live our lives in a cloud or a stupor of confusion, unsure about what it is that God wants from us or what decision we should make? And sometimes when we're confused, we respond to that emotion of confusion in an unscriptural way, and we actually make the situation even worse, propagating more confusion in our lives. And pretty soon we find ourselves stuck in a vortex or a cyclone of confusion that it feels like it's very difficult to break out of. You know, as we think about this subject tonight, I'm reminded of Thomas, who was one of the 12 that the Lord Jesus Christ called. And he was very confused about the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the other apostles and Thomas wasn't present, they told Thomas about it, and Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe it. Unless I put my hand in his side, unless I can touch the wounds in his hands and his feet, I'll not believe that he's alive." And you know, then Jesus did appear to Thomas with the other disciples, and he said to Thomas, "Okay, come here. Put your hand in my side. Feel the wounds in my hands so that you know that I really have risen from the dead." Thomas was confused, and he responded in an unscriptural manner to his confusion. I wonder how often it is that you and I feel like this, insisting that God would give us an experience or a sign to clarify the truth which he has plainly stated in his word. Tonight, I want you to consider with me how you and I can conquer confusion in our daily lives and walk with clarity in the will of God. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want you to look there quickly at verse number 20. The Bible says here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, "For all the promises of God in him," that's in Christ, "are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." I've often been captivated by this verse because to me, verse 20 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says there are a lot of things that are very sure, they are very concrete, they are very specific, they are things that we can have confidence in, and they are that way because of Jesus Christ. You know, the promises today that we can cling to are true because Jesus is real, because Jesus is risen, because Jesus is alive. And so tonight, when we think about confusion, in the light of the fact that in Jesus, all the promises of God are yea and amen, I believe that it would be wrong for us then to live in a state of confusion and say, "I'm just not sure what to believe." Because there are some things that we can most surely believe in that are sealed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 33. You won't offend me tonight if you say amen. If you got out of the habit of saying amen while I was gone for a week, then you can start right back up. 1 Corinthians 14, 33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." as in all churches of the saints. Now, I know the direct context of 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll deal with this in the Sunday evening service more in detail, but the direct context is talking about the fact that there was confusion in the assembly, in the public service of the church at Corinth, and Paul was pointing out that God is not the one who is bringing about that confusion, not to blame that on God. But I want to point out a principle here to you and I tonight, and that is, if we're confused, that confusion is not coming from God. Confusion does not originate with God. He is not the author of confusion. Now, I know some of you are going to say right away, wait a second, I know in the book of Genesis that that God is characterized as confusing the languages at the Tower of Babel. So there you can see God is the author of confusion. But I'm going to ask you tonight, why did he confuse those languages? The reason was because there was a confusion of worship. And God confused the languages in order to provide clarity about worship, that worship is to be directed to God. And so we understand tonight that where there is confusion, that confusion has not come from God. It has come from a different source. Now, tonight, as we think about confusion, I'm reminded of how I often look in Walmart. When my wife says, honey, could you go get me a bottle of conditioner? Are any of you men with me? And you go, and I mean, to my credit, my wife gets confused in there. You go to me, if you're going to buy a bottle of conditioner for your hair, there should be one, and that's it, maybe two. What's the problem with this? How can there be so many things? I go into Walmart, and I look, and I'm like, how can there be 500 types of conditioner? And then I find the brand that she wants, and it's got to be this way. And I look, and I'm looking all over, and a lady will walk by me, and she'll kind of look at me with pity in her eyes, and I'll say, I can't find what I'm looking for. I'm confused. That's not the kind of confusion we're talking about tonight. That kind of confusion is okay, men, all right? It's okay to be confused in the cosmetics aisle in Walmart. We're talking about a different kind of confusion, a confusion about the will and the way of God. Tonight, let's talk about, first of all, the problem with confusion. And we want to ask the question this evening, what is confusion? What do we mean by confusion? The Oxford English Dictionary characterizes confusion in this way. It is a mental perturbation or a wrestling in the mind, an unrest in the mind, such as prevents the full command of the faculties. It is embarrassment or perplexity, a flustered condition. It's the confounding or mistaking of one for another, a failure to distinguish. Now, let's talk about those definitions for just a moment. When we're confused, it is that we are prevented from the full command of our faculties. In other words, we're so distracted by what is confusing us that we're not paying attention to other areas of our life. We're not being vigilant and sober, and this is a mark of confusion. There's also that perplexity or an embarrassment because we can't figure out what to do. The idea of confounding or mistaking one thing for another or a failure to distinguish is we have some choices and we have a hard time deciding which one is God's will and which one is not God's will. How do I decide between these? Confusion, as we talk about what this is, confusion afflicts us when we're unable to distinguish between right and wrong, or we're unable to discern the Lord's will in a particular situation. How many times have I talked with a believer, or have I experienced in my own life a vexing of spirit because we're struggling to figure out, what should I do? What's the right thing? Perhaps it's a question of ethics. Perhaps it's a question of what is the best thing to do in this situation. We're confused. Confusion can really reign in our lives when we struggle to determine what is truth and what is error, what is right and what is wrong. You've probably noticed there's many voices that are calling for our attention in this world. And for you and I, we can become distracted and we can become perturbed. Our mind can become agitated because we're not comprehending what we should do. So many different things distract and call for our attention. You know, we don't have to look too far to realize that many people, instead of paying attention to their life, are paying attention to their smartphone. And there's a lot of voices that are calling to us saying, hey, read this, pay attention to this, and any number of articles that we can pull up online. If you've got a question, you can find all kinds of different opinions about that. I believe confusion is present when you and I find ourselves halting between two opinions. We're stuck between two things, and we're uncertain how we're going to choose and how we're going to proceed. And by this, I don't mean we're trying to decide between a hot dog or a hamburger at Five Guys. I mean about something really important, about decisions that we're going to make for our life. Should I marry this person? Should I take this job? Should I move to this area? Should I take my family and leave our church and go to a different part of the country? And these are weighty decisions. These are important things. And we don't want to be confused about God's will in these things and many other things. We don't want to have a state of confusion. And I don't believe that it's God's will for us as His children to be confused. Now, we can ask, second of all, as we think about the problem with confusion, where does confusion come from? And there are several different things that I'm going to mention here, which I believe contribute to the spirit or the feeling of confusion in our lives. First of all, confusion, I believe, comes when our motives are wrong. We tend to become confused when selfishness and pride are weighing in on our decision-making process. And we find ourselves having the wrong motives. Do you ever struggle with your motives? In fact, this is probably one of the things that confuses us the most, is sorting through our motives. Are my motives pure? Do I want that? Am I pursuing this for the right reason? And if we're not careful, we can have carnal motivations weighing in on that decision-making process. And now we have a situation where there's some confusion in our minds. A second place where confusion comes from is when you and I become impatient with the timing of God. Have you ever been in a situation where you were waiting on God and it seemed like God was taking too long? It seemed like God wasn't moving fast enough for you. Maybe you found yourself at some point in your life noticing that God doesn't seem to work on your timetable or mine. Maybe you've even been guilty, as I have, of saying, Lord, here's the deadline. I have to have an answer by this date. I'm putting this out there, Lord, the second week of December, I've got to have an answer. And if I don't have an answer by the second week of December, then I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to make it by myself. As if God is somehow sitting in heaven fretting over your timetable and your false deadline that you have created for Him. But you know what happens is, the closer you get to that deadline, which God didn't make, you made, and the closer you get to it and God still hasn't answered, the more confused you become, right? You're saying, hey, I know Gideon put out his fleece and God answered his prayer. I've asked God for some clarity and he's not moving on my timetable. He's not jumping when I snap my fingers. Okay, so this can cause a lot of confusion when we are trying to put God on a timetable and say, God, you have to do this in my time and in my way. Third of all, confusion comes when we begin to expect what God has not promised. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, sometimes you and I expect, if I'm doing God's will and I'm following God's will, then there'll be no problems. Then I'll not suffer. Then everything's going to go smoothly. All the doors are going to fling open. And we can be guilty of, when we encounter problems, doing what we believe is God's will, that all of a sudden we start saying, God, what are you doing to me? I mean, I thought this was your will, and now there's a problem. As if somehow following God's will voids all problems in our path. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine some time ago, and he said, you know, I think, honestly, we might be better off judging whether a door is opened by whether or not there are obstacles. And if there are obstacles, we could say, wow, it seems like God's really opened that door. Because wherever we're trying to do something for God, we could expect that there would be obstacles. But if we have an unrealistic expectation that God is just going to remove all the obstacles and make it smooth sailing, there's going to be no problems, no difficulties, no suffering, then we're going to be confused when we encounter those things, because we're going to say, God, I thought I was doing what you wanted me to do. And we're going to start having second thoughts about maybe I should go back and do it a different way. Number four, confusion comes in your life and mine when we've neglected to really understand God's will through the revelation of His Word. Listen to me very carefully. God's Word is very clear. I'm going to say it again. God's Word is very clear. Confusion comes in your life and mine when we give only a token agreement to God's revelation. The reason that we are often confused is because we've said, oh yeah, I read my Bible, I know what God says. But we really haven't searched, we really haven't dug into the Scriptures. What we've done is we've gone around and asked 50 different people what their opinion is of what God said. What we need to do is get in God's Word, because the more that you do that, you're going to find God's Word is very clear. People say to me sometimes, well, what about decisions where the Bible does not explicitly say thou shalt do this or thou shalt not do that? I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I believe the vast majority of decisions that we have to make, when we apply scriptural principles, God's will becomes very, very clear. Our problem is not that God's Word is not clear. Our problem is that we are not diligent students of the Scripture. And because of that, because we've not studied to show ourselves approved unto God, confusion has been introduced into our decision-making process, and now we find ourselves with our mind whirling because we've, instead of looking in God's Word and getting God's counsel, we've sampled the internet and we've asked a whole bunch of different people what we should do, and now we have, well, listen, if you ask 50 different people what you should do, you might get 50 different opinions. And now you're really confused. Number five, confusion comes in your life and mine when we are refusing to turn from sin and we're ignoring what God says about that sin. Sometimes people will, for instance, they'll say, I'm having marriage problems and I just can't understand what's going on in my marriage. I just can't understand why we can't have a successful marriage. And so then you begin to ask some questions and probe a little bit, and you realize there's some unscriptural things, some sinful things that are going on in that marriage relationship. And you say, well, here's what the Bible says, and here's what you're doing, and I believe this is contributing to your problem. No, that's not it. That's not the problem. Okay, now you're going to continue being confused about why you're having marriage problems. Do you know the Bible is actually really clear about a lot of these things? It's not confusing the way that God paints it. We make it confusing because we come across things in God's Word that we, frankly, we say, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give up that sin. I don't want to surrender in this area to God. And so I'm going to do what I want to do. Then don't be surprised if you are also confused. Number six, you and I can become confused when we're neglecting to seek God in prayer, asking with faith for God to reveal His will. You know, I believe it to be true that often we neglect prayer and Scripture because of the fact that our motives are not pure. We're afraid if I pray about it and look in the Scriptures, God is going to show me what He wants me to do, and I'm not going to like what God shows me. So I'd rather just ignore Him. I'd rather just say, Lord, please help me, and then not bother looking in His Word. Because really, many people, and I believe this is true, many people believe that if they follow God's will, God is going to ruin their lives. God is going to mess up my plans. Well, He might mess up your plans. But it's an underlying issue of suspicion of God. Of saying, well, God is going to somehow hurt me, or God is going to harm me if I surrender myself to His will. When actually the opposite is true. Somehow we think God is going to make us do something that we don't want to do. If I surrender myself to God's will, why, He's probably going to fill in the blank. He's probably going to take me to some other country as a missionary. He's probably going to do this. He's probably going to have me get involved in this ministry that I'm not interested in. He's probably going to... And And because of that resistance, we don't begin to seek after God in prayer and in His Word. And then we say, I'm confused. You know, confusion really can come when we're not seeking God's will. Number seven, confusion comes in your life and mine when we are allowing Satan's voice to drown out the voice of the Lord. We're going to see in a little bit that Satan's purpose, his design, is to introduce confusion in our minds. He wants to create and sow doubt in our minds about the promises of God and the precepts of God's Word. And when you and I allow Satan's voice to drown out the voice of the Lord, we begin listening to these other voices that are present in the world that are energized and empowered by Satan himself, then we're going to be confused because we're going to say, well, I know what the Bible says, and yet there's this other side that I believe to be true, and these two are not matching for me. So confusion comes in your life and mine. Now, third of all, let me ask you this question as we talk about the problem with confusion. What does confusion produce in your life and mine? Is there a result from allowing confusion to reign in your mind? To go back to our illustration of me in Walmart trying to figure out which conditioner to buy. You know what that produces for me? Frustration. I usually leave Walmart saying, I'm never going back to that place again. Never. You know why? Because I can log on to my Amazon account and order it from home, and I can type in exactly what I'm looking for, and I don't have to sort through a whole bunch of stuff on the shelf, and then they deliver it to my house. So I'm never going back to Walmart again. I always end up there anyway. The people from Walmart will probably be interested in this message. What does confusion produce? Well, five things that take place when we give in to confusion, when we allow confusion to reign in our lives. First of all, confusion can cause a disturbed mind and heart. Our mind and heart can become divided or double-minded concerning what we should do. Can you turn over with me to James chapter 1 real quickly? James chapter 1. We're going to get to the scriptures here in just a moment. Much of this is by way of introduction tonight. James chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Did you ever get behind somebody who was driving on the highway, coming up to the toll booth, and they couldn't decide which lane they wanted to get into? And they kept switching. And you were behind them, and all of a sudden they're going to this one, and they're going to this one, and they're going to this one. And here's how I feel about that. Make a decision and stick with it before somebody gets hurt. Confusion in your life and mine produces instability in our lives. It's a dangerous condition. If we allow confusion to continue on in our lives, to continue to disturb our mind and our heart, this is a dangerous spiritual condition. And the reason is this, because we will find ourselves making decisions simply to get rid of the confusion. And that's not always a wise thing. We're going to end up doing things that we regret because we feel like, I've just got to make a decision. Confusion can cause our mind and heart to be disturbed. Sadly, for many people, they're so disturbed because of some confusion that is in their mind, they come to the house of God and the Word of God is opened and preached. They can't concentrate on what's being preached because they're wrestling with some issue over here that's unrelated to what's being preached on, and they end up missing truths that God wants to use in their lives because their mind is disturbed. Their mind is divided. Second of all, confusion produces frustration. Frustration regarding the circumstances of one's life. This can happen when we unwisely compare ourselves with another person who seems to have it easy or whose situation seems better than our own. We spoke about this when we dealt with the emotion of envy, and we often look at the lives of others around us and we say, well, why is it so hard for me and it's so easy for them? Why do they seem to know God's will and be able to do it, and I'm struggling so much to be able to figure out what God's will is and what I should do? And the reality is that when we're confused, we've often created that monster in our lives. And by looking at others and beginning to compare our lives with them, We're expressing a frustration and this idea, I just want things to be different. I just want things to change somehow. Third of all, I believe confusion in your life and mine can lead to a cynical attitude about God's will and the truth of God. A confused person who is wrestling with the truth of Scripture and wrestling with their emotions of confusion and they're just grappling with all of this can get to the place where they say, ah, the Bible doesn't have the answers. We can become cynical about the promises of God. We can give up on what God says, or at the very least, and I know that we all realize that's not dignified in a sanctified sort of way. And so we would probably never stand up and say that as a testimony. But what we end up doing more subtly is, as believers, we begin to explain away God's promises and God's precepts in His Word and explain how, well, they really don't apply to me in my situation. We have a tendency, here's what we say. Well, that's a nice Sunday school answer. What is that saying? What that means is, God's word is too simplistic and life is much more complex than what God has provided us with. The truth of the matter is, God's word is more profound than you will ever get to the bottom of. But you and I become confused, and in our confusion, we can become very cynical. We might hear somebody give a testimony about how God answered their prayers or how God delivered them in some situation or how God spoke to them through His word, and we find ourselves saying, yeah, right. That's a bunch of mystical garbage. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't really answer prayer. God doesn't... Be careful when you start to see that cynical attitude. That's often the result of confusion that has been allowed to roost in your life. Number four, confusion in your life and mine. I've alluded to this already. Confusion can result in unwise and unscriptural decisions. Because we find ourselves confused and we're wrestling and struggling against, okay, this is what I believe I want to do, and this is what God's Word says, and we're confused about what we should do. We find ourselves making decisions, and oftentimes those decisions will be impulsive. How many people, for instance, have gotten frustrated with a car that was giving them some problems, and then they were so frustrated, they went out and they saddled themselves with a big car payment? And later they say, I wish I hadn't moved so quickly. I wish I had been more thoughtful and careful about that, because you know that monthly payment's going to wear on you after a while. Now listen, I'm not against you if you have a car payment. I'm just saying, we can be very impulsive, can't we? We can jump to solve a problem, jump out there because we're frustrated and we're confused, and we just say, well, I'll just make a decision already because some decision is better than no decision. Sometimes we would be better off waiting and making sure that we have God's mind. We have to be careful not to respond in confusion. You know, honestly, when we begin making unwise, unscriptural decisions out of a feeling or an emotion of confusion, this leads to even more confusion. Because what happens is we begin struggling against the consequences of the unwise decisions that we've made in the past. Now we've got The consequences are piling on from the unwise decisions that we made, and now we're even more confused, and we're trying to figure out which way to go and what to do. And the reality is, the confusion that we're facing has been something that we created ourselves. Fifth of all, confusion, I believe, produces the effect of causing us to resort to fleshly manipulation and arranging circumstances to get what we really want. Have you ever noticed about yourself that you're going to do what you want to do? Have you figured that out? That when you really want to do something, you're going to do it. Listen, my wife knows, if I tell her I want ice cream, I'm going to find a way to get ice cream. And she'll laugh at me because I'll say, you know, I got to go run some errands. I know what you're doing. You're going to get ice cream. You got me. It's true. Why? Because at the end of the day, we do what we want to do. Now, the sad thing is that oftentimes what we want to do is contrary to Scripture. But we're going to find a way to explain it. We're going to find a way to arrange it. We're going to find a way to make it happen. And then that way, we can say, it's God's will. Don't you see how the doors opened up? And now I'm over here. And we never mention the fact that the doors opened because we were pulling strings, because we were pushing, because we were shoving. And the reality is, you know, a lot of times God will let you have what you really want so that you can eat the fruit of your own desires and you can realize that your desires are tainted. Confusion in our lives will often result in us making unwise, unscriptural decisions. We don't want to exist in that sort of a state. And so this is the problem with confusion. As God's people, we don't want to live in a state of confusion. Now, I'm not suggesting tonight that we will always know exactly what God wants. I am, however, suggesting that we should be very careful not to allow that spirit of confusion to continue in our minds, but to address that from God's word. Now, let's deal, second of all, tonight with some precepts concerning confusion. I've got five precepts tonight that I want to share with you about confusion. I want you to turn, first of all, in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Now, we're going to look at quite a bit of scripture for the next several minutes. Proverbs chapter 3. A very familiar couple of verses there in Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 5 and 6. And here the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I want to really focus on, there's a lot we could focus on in these two verses, but I really want to focus on the last phrase in verse number 6. And he shall direct thy paths. Does that sound to you like confusion? No, that sounds like clarity. That sounds like something that is very easy to understand. I'm reminded of Psalm 119, verse 105, which says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Some of you are going to go out after the service and try to find your car. I had a couple of folks come by for an appointment last evening, and as they were leaving, the parking lot was dark, and as you know, there's no lights installed out there yet, and they had their cell phone out, and they were trying to find their car out there in the dark parking lot. But you know, when you have a light, when you have a lamp to guide your way, you can see the path. And here's what I want you to understand, first of all, the first precept about confusion. You and I can trust God to reveal his will to us. God speaks to us about his will. God is concerned that we would know his will. For you and I tonight, we must understand confusion never starts with God. God knows exactly what is right and what is wrong. There is never any confusion in God's mind. So tonight, if you find yourself in a confused state of mind, I want you to reconcile this in your mind. You may be confused. God is not confused. God knows exactly what should be done in that situation. And make no mistake about it, there is something that should be done in that situation, and we need to find out what it is. Not only does God know what is right and wrong, though, God is gracious enough to reveal right and wrong to you and I. Now, this goes counter to what many Christians believe about God's will, because many Christians believe God's will is some kind of a mystical, magical kind of a thing, and only a select few Christians can really figure out what God's will is. I don't believe God's will works that way. I believe God's will is very plain. I believe God is very clear. I believe God speaks plainly to us so that we will be able to figure out what he wants us to do. God does not want us confused. You and I often cast God's will in this light of being mysterious and mystical, difficult to figure out, so that we can feel better about not finding God's will. We can say, well, you know, it's just a mysterious thing. It's just a mystical thing. And God moves in mysterious ways, and I just haven't found his will yet. You know, for most people who say that to me, at that moment, the thing that they're trying to decide and figure out what God's will is, I could take them to chapter and verse and show them this is exactly what God wants you to do in this situation. This is what God says. But that's not what they're looking for. And what they really would rather is that you not tell them that, because that would just confuse them even more, because what they really want is to do what they want to do. I'll give you an example. You know, salvation is not confusing or complicated. There's nothing confusing or complicated about salvation. Our flesh makes it seem that way, but the way of salvation is actually very simple and it's very clearly revealed. You and I are commanded by God to repent and to believe the gospel. That's plain. People come to me and they say, I'm so confused about how to be saved. Here's my answer. Repent and believe the gospel. What does that mean? It's not hard. Repent and believe the gospel. You say, but I'm so confused. Well, the reason you're confused is because you're choosing not to believe what God has said. You're looking for something in addition to repent and believe the gospel that will show you that it's really true. And you really just have to decide, I'm going to take God at his word. I'm going to repent and believe the gospel. You say, can you really do that? Would God really command us to do something and then keep us from being able to do so? I think that God tells us about the gospel because he expects us to obey the gospel. Amen. One of your problems, one of my problems comes when we begin trusting our own sense of understanding, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 talks about. We have a gut instinct about what's right and wrong instead of looking at God's plainly revealed word. Have you ever noticed how often your gut instinct is the opposite of what God says? Be careful. You and I can trust God to reveal his will to us. God speaks to us through his word. Second of all, I want you to understand as you turn to Psalm 119 that God's word is always right no matter how we may feel. So this builds on that last thought that I shared with you. God's word is always right. We're told in the book of Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. In Psalm 119, I want you to look at verse 99 and 100. The Bible there says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Now, the psalmist in these two verses is saying that if we will pay attention to what God says in his word, our understanding will be more than that of the ancients, those who have discovered things and have found out mysterious, undiscovered things, and they can share those with us and all the learning that we could get if we would just pay attention to God's word. God's word is true. You know, if you read it in the Bible, it's right. It's true. Verse 130 says this, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Are you here tonight and you feel kind of simple? Maybe you say, I've not been saved that long, or I don't feel like I've really understood all there is to understand. Well, you know what you can do? Get in God's word. It's really there to give understanding to people who don't know. That's what a simple person is, somebody who doesn't know. And God's word is provided for us in a way that God's word is always true. So when we read something in the scriptures, no matter how we feel about it, it's God's word is right. As an example, somebody might say to me, you know, preacher, I know I'm already married, but you just don't understand how I feel about this other person. I mean, I feel so attracted to them. And I don't feel attracted to my wife anymore, but I'm so attracted to this other person. If I feel this way, it can't be wrong. Actually, it could. Actually, it is. And here's why, because here's what the Bible says. You show that kind of a person the scriptures and you show them plainly in black and white. Here's what God says. You know what they're going to do if they don't want to follow God's will? They're going to look for a loophole. They're going to try to find a way to get out of it, to say, well, you know, that's in the Old Testament. Well, you know, that was just the Apostle Paul saying that. Well, you know, that's a different situation. Oh, you can make any excuse you want. But what you're saying is, the way I feel is right and the way God says is wrong. And you and I need to come to grips with the precept that what God's word says is always right. Third of all, a third precept concerning confusion, as you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I want to say, third of all, confusion in your life and mine comes because of the influence of Satan. When we are confused, we should pay attention that Satan is trying to deceive us. He's trying to confuse us about the truth. Revelation 20 and verse 3 describes the end of Satan. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And then after that, he's going to be defeated and cast into the lake of fire. But I want you to notice right in the middle of the verse, it says that he should deceive the nations no more. Why is there deception in our world? Why is there so much confusion? Sometimes people ask me, why are there so many religions? Why is it so hard to figure out? You know, there's all these different religions and all these different ways that people say that you can get to God. Do you suppose that those things exist because there is a deceiver who is actively seeking to confuse the clarity of salvation by introducing things that sound oh so good, but they are oh so wrong? Do you suppose? When you and I are confused in our lives, the reason is because Satan is trying to confuse our understanding of God's Word. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 talks about the fact that in the New Testament church, we're provided with pastors and teachers who will do the work of the ministry, who will teach and preach the Word of God. And the reason there in verse 14 is that we would no longer be tossed to and fro by the cunning of men who lie in wait to deceive. Do you know there are people in the world who would like to deceive God's people? And you say, where does that come from? It comes from their father who is inspiring them to do that, to create confusion in people's minds. This is how Satan confuses people about the gospel. He blinds their eyes through confusion. It was in the Garden of Eden where Satan introduced confusion into the world by asking the simple question, yea, hath God said? Confusion does not come from God, but it is a consequence of walking in the flesh and listening to the voice of Satan. Now, I want you to understand that when we are confused, when we're struggling with confusion, that confusion is very purposeful. And Satan's intention is to make us unsettled about the veracity of God's revelation. He wants to cause us to question whether what God has said is actually right. Number four tonight, turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The fourth precept concerning confusion that we want to talk about tonight is this. It is possible for you and I to experience peace when we walk in the Spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, I want to point out to you, the word peace is used frequently in the New Testament. Sometimes the word peace speaks about the fact that peace has been made between man and God. Sometimes peace speaks about the fact that there can be peace between man and man. In other words, that there can be reconciliation between Jew and Gentile. But there is also a sense in which peace is spoken of in the Scriptures as an attitude or a state of mind. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16, the Bible says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Now, if you're here tonight and you have a confused mind, you ought to say, that's what I want. I want the Lord of peace to give me peace always. I want to know what God's will is, and I don't want to be confused. I want to have peace in my heart. Galatians 5 and verse 22 reveals to us the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. The third in the list is something that only the Holy Spirit can produce in your life and mine. It is a peace that passes all understanding, which will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But you know, the Spirit, He's able and He will bring peace to our lives when we're willing to walk according to His power and in His way. Plainly stated tonight, when you and I are experiencing confusion, it is because we are not walking in the Spirit. Can I say that again? When you and I are experiencing confusion, it is because we are not walking in the Spirit. All right, I'll move right along. Number five. Fifth principle, Ephesians 4:14, which I referred to earlier. Turn in your Bibles over there. Fifth of all, understand this. Confusion can be clarified when we experience biblical fellowship. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Now there is a component to overcoming and conquering confusion in your life and mine which rests upon the necessity of biblical fellowship. In other words, you and I cannot be a lone ranger Christian and hope to overcome confusion in our lives. God puts us within a church family for the purpose of providing stability to our thinking. You know, one of the great blessings of biblical fellowship is when you have an errant thought and you're going off the rails from the scriptures and you mention that to a brother in Christ, your brother in Christ can say, with all due respect, I think you're going off the rails. Here's what the scripture says, and here's how we ought to practice, and I think that you're going the wrong direction. But you know, when you don't have anybody to correct your thinking, when you're just cherry-picking teachers off the internet and off the television and the radio and saying, well, I like this person, and I like the way they put that, you know what you're going to end up with? Confusion. You're going to end up with more and more confusion in your life. God puts us in a church family because in a church family, there's accountability. There is an answering to one another, and we can encourage one another to be stabilized in the truth of Scripture by speaking the truth in love. I'm thankful that we have a church family that we're a part of that helps with this issue of confusion. And so those are some precepts about confusion. Third of all tonight, let's talk about a plan to overcome confusion. And just real quickly tonight, let's think first of all, if we're going to overcome confusion, you and I need to learn to challenge our thoughts and emotions of confusion. When we feel confused, when we sense that we're confused about a decision, we need to challenge that. And here's how we can do that. First of all, remind yourself that just because you feel confused doesn't mean that you actually are. Did that confuse you? You know, a lot of times we can feel confused, but deep down inside we know exactly what God says. We know exactly what God wants us to do. It's not really an issue of being confused. It's an issue of I don't want to do what God wants me to do. And we really need to stop making the excuse, well, I'm just confused and I don't know what God wants me to do, because we actually do know what God wants us to do. It's just an excuse that we're making so that we don't have to obey God. Second of all, we can challenge our thoughts and feelings of confusion by resisting the temptation to avoid God's word. It's amazing how often we will feel when we are confused, like, I don't want to look in the Bible. I don't want to see what God says. It's just going to confuse me more. God's word does not confuse. God's word brings clarity. Find clarity in the expressed written word of God rather than seeking it in your own thoughts and feelings. Did you ever notice that when you're confused, your tendency is to get all burrowed down into your thoughts and your feelings? And all of a sudden we're thinking about, no, I wonder why I feel that way. Now, what was I thinking? What was I feeling? And I mean, we get all psyched up about that and we're doing a mini psychoanalysis on ourselves. And then we jump on the internet and we type in some symptoms and we're like, oh no, I might have something. I might have a condition. Maybe I've got to get some help for this. And you know what the reality is? You're maybe too in touch with your feelings and your emotions. You need to go back to God's word. What is going to inform you better than your own thoughts and feelings is God's truth. God's truth will often run counter to how you feel and how you're emoting about that particular issue. But God's truth is always right. And we are often flawed. To challenge your thoughts and feelings of confusion, you might ask yourself this question. Is God confused about this? I wonder if God is confused. Now, just answer for me real quickly. Is God confused about it? No, he's not. You might ask yourself this question. Has God made this confusing? Or have I made this confusing? And you know, the answer is always going to be, it's not God who made it confusing. God is a revealer of truth. God is one who makes the truth plain. We are the ones who confuse the truth. And so now we need to unravel our thoughts using the Word of God. But here's what I'm really stressing is you can't just let yourself go along down that river of feeling confused. I'm so confused. I'm so confused. I'm so confused. I'm so confused. You tell yourself that you're confused long enough, you're really going to be confused. You're going to be one mixed up individual, and you're going to feel as if you can't break out of that cycle of confusion, and it's all a lie of Satan, because the truth is very plain. Now, not only do we need to challenge our thoughts and feelings of confusion, but second of all, we must choose a scriptural pattern of thinking. Philippians 4:8 is our pattern, which we've used all through this series. And we're going to ask ourselves a question. Is it true? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? Is there virtue? Is there praise? Then think on these things. If you haven't discovered this already, you ought to discover the principle of replacement. Don't try to stop thinking confusing thoughts. Replace the confusing thoughts with the clear thoughts from God's Word. You'll frustrate yourself to no end trying to stop thinking about something. But God has given us a vehicle for change, and that is by choosing our thoughts. So we can choose positively to think about things that are true and things that are honest and just and pure and all of those characteristics from Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. You know, I find oftentimes people struggling with salvation, and I'm so confused, and I'm just grappling and struggling. And you know what my advice is? You need to believe what God says, and you need to keep on believing what God says. You need to just grab a hold of God's promises about salvation, which are very clear, and then you need to keep on believing what God has said about that. Instead of giving in to the confusing thoughts about all of these other aspects and these other doubts and these other things that plague your mind, grab a hold of what God has said, obey the gospel, and then keep on believing what God has said. So not only do we need to challenge our thoughts and feelings of confusion, we need to choose a scriptural pattern of thinking. Third of all, we must choose to walk in the Spirit. Now, if we're going to choose to walk in the Spirit, I believe there's three things that will be true at least. First of all, you and I need to refuse to believe the lie that it is impossible to know God's will. The devil will tell you it's not possible to know God's will. God has left you in confusion. He's just left you in this state. That's not true. Refuse to believe that lie. That's not how God operates. Now, might you not know all of God's will at this moment? So the answer is, okay, you're not sure. I'm sure that none of us know everything about God's will at this exact moment. I'm sure that there are things in our future that we have not yet understood or comprehended. But we don't need to be confused about that. So I don't want to believe the lie that God's will is unable to be found. There is a growing popular idea that detaches the personal nature of God from His will and basically states God's will as nothing more than a generalized statement, and God is really not concerned about the individual choices that you make. And I disagree with that. I believe that God deals with us on a personal basis, on an individual basis. He is concerned with the decisions of our life. And I believe that God deals with those decisions through the principles of His Word. And if we will become students of God's Word, we can know what God's will is for our lives. Second of all, we can choose to walk in the Spirit by being willing to wait patiently for the timing of God to be revealed. Oftentimes, you and I need to cling to the promises of God, even when His promises seem irrational or implausible. I've said this before, it's not original with me. What God has shown you in the light, don't neglect in the darkness. Sometimes in a season of waiting, in a season of doubt or confusion or being unsure, we feel as if we should jettison the things that we previously knew to be true and somehow find some new truth. It's in those moments of darkness that we must cling to the promises of God. When we're unsure and we're struggling with confusion, we need the promises of God ever more than we did before. I think about an airplane pilot who's flying an airplane. The last thing you want to hear from your airplane pilot is, "I just don't trust these instruments." That's bad. That's really bad. Why? Because the instruments do not lie. The instruments are calibrated before every flight. The instruments are designed to be accurate. The pilot's impressions and feelings will often be inaccurate, but the instruments are right. You know, it's that way with God's Word. And many times when we're waiting and we feel like God is taking too long, He hasn't come on to our deadline, we start to question, is this really God's will? Is this really what God wants me to do? And we need to stick to what we said was God's will and wait on God for His timing very patiently. Third of all, choose to walk in the Spirit by spending much time in the Scripture. You and I need to read, study, memorize, and meditate upon God's Word and allow God's Word to illuminate your path at all times. You know, I was joking earlier about going into Walmart and picking something out there, picking something up, conditioner for my wife's hair. But you know, the honest truth is, my wife and I have been married long enough now that I know exactly what kind of conditioner she uses. If we go to a restaurant, I have a pretty good idea what she's going to order. I could probably order for her. Now, that didn't happen the first year that we were married. But as I've gotten to know her, as we've spent time together, I can often anticipate exactly what she's going to want. You know, the same thing becomes true when you spend time in God's Word. The more that you spend with God and His Word, and the more familiar you become with His purpose and His plan, with the precepts and the principles of Scripture, you can come to some what would seem to be a confusing decision, and because of the Word of God that you have in your mind and in your heart, the decision becomes very clear and very simple because you say, I know what God wants me to do in this situation. And sometimes people will say, how do you know that? And you might be able to take them right to a chapter and verse and say, here's exactly why I know that. Sometimes we might say, well, that's intuition. But really what it is all those principles of God's Word weighing in on us so that we know. And there's a settledness in our heart. This is what God wants in this situation based upon what I have learned about Him through the Scripture. You and I do not walk in the Spirit apart from the Word of God. It is impossible to walk in the Spirit and refuse God's Word. But tonight, I want you to come away from the message with this thought. You and I do not have to live in a state of confusion or dilemma. We can, by the power of the Spirit of God, find clarity to follow God's will and be obedient to His Word. And I will go further tonight and say, I believe that that is God's desire for us to live with clarity rather than with confusion.